Hi, I'm Ann Frazier. Welcome to another edition of Bringing Hope to Alzheimer's. I'm sitting here with my new friend. This is Anna DeLuca with us today. And Anna is, I'm going to read this so I get it right. Anna is a registered dental hygienist at Gillihan Periodontics in Independence, Missouri. She studied dental hygiene at the University of Missouri, Kansas City School of Dentistry, and earned your Bachelor's of Science. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we're going to start out by just telling us a little bit about, how did you hear about this podcast? How did you hear about Night of Hope?
So I heard about the podcast and then discovered the gala that you guys put on, which sounds incredible, because one of your staff members came into my office and they left some contact information and said that if anyone was interested in coming on to talk about oral hygiene and how it connects to overall health or Alzheimer's disease, or if anyone has a personal story that connects to Alzheimer's disease, then they can reach out and see if it would be a good fit for the show. And so one person to another,
there you go.
Now I'm here. And
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it really piqued my interest. So although I don't have a personal connection with Alzheimer's disease and that none of my relatives or close friends' relatives have been diagnosed with it, I have had a couple of patients who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And granted, they are really early in the diagnosis. And so it hadn't too heavily impacted how I provide care to them. But aside from the fact that I do have to work a little more closely with the person who accompanies them at their appointments, because that usually does happen once they get the diagnosis, just to ensure that I'm getting accurate medical history information and so that I can communicate to them about how to best support their loved one in terms of their oral hygiene routine. And so I primarily wanted to come on today to just shed more light on what periodontal disease is, how it affects overall health, and then tell you a little bit about what I read on the recent studies on looking at the relationship between periodontal disease and Alzheimer's disease.
Right. And we're going to get to our questions, but one of the things that we were just chatting about before we started recording, when we did the autopsies of my parents' brains, my mom, who had true Alzheimer's, when we got the report back, it said that she had high levels of oral bacteria in her brain. And we know from a lot of research that periodontitis, that can, it breaks the blood-brain barrier, the bacteria breaks the blood-brain barrier and can deposit that oral bacteria into the brain, which is a contributor to, can cause Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
So with Alzheimer's, I know for my parents, until I started taking care of them, I did not realize that they were forgetting to brush their teeth all the time, because they, in their mind, was sure that they had brushed their teeth. So that's kind of where it started. And then it had already gotten so bad by the time I started caring for them. They brushed their teeth twice a day, every day. But they had already gone so many years without. And we didn't know that because we lived in other states. So anyway, I'm so excited to hear what you have to say today. So share with us and our listeners about periodontics and your role as a dental hygienist. What, first of all, what inspired you to get into this field?
Well, I graduated in 2020 amidst all of the COVID pandemic craziness. So when I was in hygiene school, my clinical semester got cut short. So I actually missed out on some of the opportunities to go to different rotations to see the different specialties of dentistry. So upon graduation, I accepted a job as a temp hygienist. So that means that I worked all over the KC metro area, just filling in at different offices, and that kind of allowed me to dabble into different specialties and figure out what I like and don't like about different dental offices. And I ended up getting offered to work with Dr. Gillihan, and funny enough, her and I go back because I had done some shadowing at her offices in my undergraduate studies, and I remember just how knowledgeable and good at communicating she was to her patients, these complex, emotionally weighted topics in a way that made them feel cared for and understood. And so I was excited to go back in and actually work for her. And the shift went well. She offered me a part-time job. And over the years, it's transformed into a full-time job. And I'm grateful to be there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So people of all ages can benefit from living a healthy lifestyle, all the things, right? But sometimes people don't understand the absolute importance of good oral hygiene. So tell us more about that importance and talk to us about what is periodontics And how does that relate to our health?
Yeah, so I work for a periodontist, Dr. Amy Gillihan, and she is a specialized dentist whose diagnoses involve the gum and bones surrounding the teeth as opposed to the teeth themselves. So teeth problems would be things like cavities, nerve issues, denture wart, etc. So patients will typically start at a general dentist and then can get referred to a specialty office like mine. So my doctor, she will perform surgeries like gum grafting, certain extractions, placing dental implants, bone grafting, frenectomies, stuff of that nature. And my role as a dental hygienist at her office is to provide non-surgical therapies in the treatment and management of periodontal disease. So I'll explain what periodontal disease is here in a moment, but I want to say a little bit more about what we actually do as dental hygienists, because our job goes beyond just doing the cleanings themselves. You can kind of think of us like the nurses of dentistry. We review the patient's medical history, take x-rays, administer local anesthesia or numbing when applicable, measure the health of the gums, provide thorough patient education, and arguably our most important role is facilitating a positive and trustworthy relationship between the patient and the rest of the office, because we're the ones who end up spending the most time with them over right. the course of their care.
Right.
So then, and then you ask the next question. You were starting to get into healthy lifestyle.
Right. Right. Healthy lifestyle, that includes having good oral hygiene. Mm-hmm. So that's where, like, tell us what periodontitis is.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. So now we're getting to the meat.
Yes.
And there's a whole wealth of information that I can share on this topic that I'm going to try and condense down in the okay. most digestible way that I can.
Okay.
Most people are familiar with the condition gingivitis. Mm-hmm. So gingivitis is inflammation of the gums, and this is a reversible condition. So if someone starts to have slightly irritated gums that are bleeding a little bit, if they then start brushing and flossing regularly, then those symptoms will reside. It'll be as if it never happened. And this is in contrast to periodontal disease, which is a condition that is irreversible. By definition, periodontal disease is the accumulation of bacterial plaques that over time cause oral bone loss for those who are susceptible to it. Susceptibility depends on genetics, age, and environmental exposures. Obviously, with genetics and age, there's little to no control over that, but we do have a lot of control over those environmental exposures, and that is ultimately what is going to determine how periodontal presents itself in each individual.
So what are you talking when you say environmental?
So that would be like your home care, whether or not you're going into the office, your diet, your sleep, your exercise.
Stress.
There
you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think now would be maybe a good time to yeah. break out my model so we can kind of visualize the things that I wanted to say next. So think about the teeth in a person's mouth. What you see is usually less than half of the length of the full tooth itself. So I'll pull this up here to kind of demonstrate that this long white part goes all the way down to the jawbone. You can see the back teeth are shaped like this, a lot bigger than most people expect. And so the teeth are held into the jawbone and then covered with a protective layer of gum tissue. And each tooth has this little collar of gum around it. And the tiny area between the tooth and the gum itself, you can measure that. It's called the gum pocket. That's what we do in our office. And the depth of that pocket will reflect the health of their overall mouth. And so if someone has bacteria in their mouth that's not being removed, like we already talked about, it can develop into gingivitis. If it's then left even longer to sit, then it can develop into the periodontal disease for people who are susceptible to it. And I like to have people think about fence posts in a ground. If there's something that's slowly digging away at the dirt around those fence posts, then over time they will start to rock or, worst case, fall over. And this is analogous to what can happen to a person's teeth if periodontal disease is left untreated for too long. And something else is that bone loss, it doesn't hurt. I think that's a big reason why it goes untreated for so long in mm-hmm. people.
So is periodontal disease Is that different than receding gums?
Yes and no. I mean, they're kind of one and the same. I mean, if you have an exposed gum, unless something happened where like a baseball hit you in the mouth, maybe there was some sort of trauma that caused the gum to be lost in a specific area, most people tend to have a little more generalized recession in on multiple spots. And that would be a result of the bone loss mm-hmm. that they have. So again, we said we wanted to have a shallow gum pocket. That is what is able to be cleaned by brushing and flossing. It's only a couple millimeters deep. So if someone has bone loss and then they shrink their gums to only be a couple millimeters deep, which is what we want, but the result would be exposed root. Mm-hmm. And that, mm-hmm. so it is a part of the disease process. It can also be made worse by like clenching and grinding, all the stress things mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have that. So I work a full-time job and I run my charity. So one of my biggest triggers is stress. And so I do a lot of things during the day to keep away that stress. Mm-hmm. But at night, I tend mm-hmm. to clench. And so that is a direct correlation to, you know, like receding gums. And that's what I wanted to know because, mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to lifestyle, right? Yeah. It goes back to stress or how you handle stress and those types of things. So what are some things that people, if they're starting to notice that they're starting to have some problems, what do they do?
Well, I mean, I think just becoming aware of it and kind of taking that first step of acknowledging, okay, these are what symptoms I have going on, and then talking with, I would say, loved ones and trusted individuals to find out what are you doing for your dental care. Of course, in the meantime, if you would start brushing and flossing, getting a good routine at home, that would be great. But ultimately, you need to get into a dental office to work alongside a professional, because if you have progressed periodontal disease where there's like a deep pocket, even if you start brushing and flossing and kind of make the superficial level of gums more healthy, you're not getting to the source mm-hmm. of the problem. You would continue to have issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to return back to the podcast in just a moment, but we wanted to do a quick infomercial and we wanted to tell you that we are looking for sponsors for our podcast. So if you or anyone you know have been affected by Alzheimer's and you're loving our podcast, then we would absolutely love to talk to you. You know, we're based here out of Kansas City, but we have listeners all over the United States and in fact, all over the world, which is really fun and exciting to see where people tune in from. So France, Australia, all kinds of different places. And that's really, really cool to see our reach go so far. And we are hoping to take our podcast to 2 days a week. So in order to do that, we are looking for some podcast sponsors. So if you or anyone you know would love to have an infomercial about your wonderful company, we would love to spotlight you. And so please reach out to us and email us at info@thenightofhope.com. And we will reach out to you and we can talk about all the different levels that we have. You can sponsor for 1 month, 3 months, or a year. We'd love to talk to you about that. So thanks so much. And again, reach out to us by emailing us at info@thenightofhope.com. Thanks so much. Now we'll return back to the podcast. So for someone who doesn't have any cavities and brushes their teeth normally and flosses after every meal, is there anything else they can do to make sure that they keep their teeth in top condition?
I like drinking lots of water, staying. You said like, I feel like you already hit the basics. I feel mm-hmm. like, I mean, which a lot of people are missing that, but I think just also acknowledging that you need to work with a dental professional mm-hmm. to really get it under control and make sure there aren't problems going on that you're not able mm-hmm. to tell.
Right.
Because you don't just want to look back and then regret not having done something sooner. Because obviously, if someone's doing all those things that you're saying, then they already are off on a better foot. But
right.
We don't want them to have missed something.
Right. So going to your regular dentist on a regular basis, which would be twice a year, is that correct? Like to go to your regular dentist?
that would be considered a prophylactic or preventative cleaning if you're getting it done twice a year.
Okay.
If you are someone who has been diagnosed with periodontal disease, the recall frequency is usually 3 months.
Okay,
so you end up going more like 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Now, and that's because the research shows that that's about how long it takes for the bacteria to accumulate and potentially cause damage on average. So it does vary individual. And so some people can get away with going on a little bit longer interval, but that's like the safe answer.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So again, bringing it back to Alzheimer's. So this podcast is about Alzheimer's, really the hope that we have now. Because our mission statement is the Night of Hope is all about bringing hope to Alzheimer's through educating people about brain health, prevention, early detection, and the potential of reversal. So taking that mission statement and looking at what you guys do, I think that you kind of covered it, but getting in early, seeing your dentist, hopefully on more of that preventative side, like twice a year, and identifying problems early and getting the help that you need. Those are all really important things. So is there any research that you guys have found on the periodontal side that directly relates to brain health or brain and oral care combined together?
Yeah, so the research looking at the relationship between those two conditions, it's relatively new, I will say. There exists a much larger body of research looking at periodontal disease and the connection between that and other chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, stuff like that. And those studies do show a really strong correlation. Now, I will never really venture to say that one causes another because all of these conditions that we're talking about are multifactorial and are multidirectional too. Because, I mean, think about if someone has Alzheimer's disease and their cognition starts to become impaired, you can see how they would be less likely to take care of their oral hygiene. Even if they have the best intentions, sometimes they just don't have the capacity to be on a routine. But I think the research is now showing the other direction. If you have periodontal disease, you have the higher potential of developing Alzheimer's disease. I mean, think about the proximity of the mouth to the brain. Like you had mentioned, those pathogens, the most common one being P. gingivalis, it can travel via the bloodstream because that's what untreated periodontal disease is. It's like an open wound in the mouth. It's connected to other parts of the body. And so if it were to travel up to the blood-brain barrier, has the potential to permeate it and reach the neurons up there and either directly cause damage or indirectly, because there are a couple different hypotheses about how it happens, but indirectly through inflammation. So the body's immune response reacting to that bacteria can cause damage to the nerves. And that's what I'm connecting the dots through all the research I'm doing, that it goes back to that chronic inflammation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, because I talk about this a lot on this podcast, but Alzheimer's disease is considered three things. It's considered a lifestyle disease, which we're talking about with brushing your teeth, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of all the things. And then it's considered type 3 diabetes. Well, sugar, again, can affect this, right? It affects, it's really kind of evil. It's the devil in our body. But then Alzheimer's is also considered an inflammatory disease, which again, also contributes to what you've been talking about today.
Yes.
So all of those things. So oral hygiene is really, really important for good overall care for your body, but also including your brain and brain health, right?
It's all connected.
It's all connected. That's exactly right.
You know, like insurance companies, the way it's set up, it kind of leads people to think, oh, the mouth is a separate entity from the rest of the body, but it's not.
But it's not. Exactly. Exactly. So is there anything that we've not talked about today that you wanted to make sure that we talked about?
Well, I mean, my big takeaways would just be for people to not wait. Take whatever small action steps that you can, that they will make a difference. And don't sell yourself short, because I think there has been this notion of, as I get older, you lose your teeth. That's just like what happens. But that's pretty far from the truth. I see a lot of elderly patients in their 80s and 90s who still have most, if not all, of their natural teeth. It can be done. And like, yeah, as we age, things begin to slow down or break down, like bone density. And so that might make you more susceptible for periodontal disease because that bacteria is there. Maybe the bone's a little bit weaker. Your immune system's not as resilient at fighting it. But if you have taken care of your teeth all of your life, then usually that amount of bone loss that you have had, it's usually not enough to cause loss. Or think about muscle mass. You know, just because you lose muscle mass as you age, it doesn't mean you become fully crippled.
Right.
You know, it's if you resistance train and stay active, then you can maintain quality of life. And yeah, you might not look or perform like you did in your 30s, but that's not the goal. We just want to have a realistic, good quality of life as we age.
Right. That's exactly it. Well, I'm so glad that you joined us today. You're beautiful and you've got a beautiful smile. So something that we all need to continue to work on. But if people want to get a hold of you, we'll make sure that we put all of the information for Gillum Periodontics.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll have that so people can reach out if they want to see you all. Because again, we're all about wanting to support local companies. And we're right here in Kansas City. That's where we were founded. And we want to make sure that we support what's happening here in Kansas City.
Yes.
So.
And my fiance is actually a general dentist as
well. Oh, wonderful.
In North Kansas City Dental. So I brought both of our cards so that you can kind of help people from,
absolutely,
from different angles. But I will say that this is not any kind of marketing
of course
thing for us. We are all super busy and we really just want to see people get into a dental home that works for them, whether or not it is with us or anyone. We just want to be a resource. So yeah, please call or leave a voicemail and we'll reach out.
And we'll put your information on for sure.
Okay.
So excellent. Wonderful. Well, thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on Bringing Hope to Alzheimer's.